Don't worry, there's some worse ones I can bring in weeks to come. We're not yet into Advent, so there's plenty of time for more jumpers coming forward. I think last week, Clive shared us the struggles that he was having, you know, with this very painful skin complaint, and it was good that we had the opportunity to pray for him. So what I would say is keep praying. Now, he's had another very difficult week, a lot of pain, an infection, so he's been back to the hospital, not sleeping very much. So he actually has prepared for today, but I think he would have struggled to have stood for half an hour. So yesterday when we had our extravaganza, I had a chat and I said, well, I can always get something off the shelf. So this is something off the shelf with a few twiddles. One of the things that we like to do as a church is to celebrate success. You know, if you go back a few years, when we had the announcements, children would bring up out their certificates, or I think older people should be able to do that. So I brought with you this morning my celebration, my big award for this week. And it took a lot of getting, and I think it looks quite good. So this is what I got this week. And for those of you that haven't got sort of 2020 vision, it's a Step Challenge 2017 winner, Ola Black. So that's great to go on. It wasn't a personal one. I was part of a team in our health and well-being month, and we had to do as many steps as we could. Our team did over the month almost 3 million steps, and we worked out that if we started in Newport, it would have got us to Barcelona, and we'd have got back to Bordeaux and been able to relax there, have a few glasses of the lovely French wine before we flew home. So it was very hard work to get there, but it was a lot of steps to get there as well. We're now getting close to Advent. I thought it was Advent, but we've got to wait another week till we start lighting the candles for that. But no, the Latin for Advent, ad, towards, and vent, coming from the word to come. We are coming towards this important time of the year. And if you read through the Old Testament, it's leading us to this time, the time of Christ's birth, the time of Christ's death. You know, Clive started us thinking about it last week, and I'm going to continue it today. And so today I'm going to look at one of the passages that we often have at this time of year, which is Isaiah. So I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 9, if you've got your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood, will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the governance will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I don't usually take a verse as a text, but today I want us just to think about that one verse, because there's one verse that says what this new king will be called. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We hear these words probably every year in our carol services, but I want us just to step back today and think about each of them in turn, what they say, but also what they can mean to us. So the first of these we pick up is Wonderful Counselor. Now, counselors, not a word that we really use today. We probably have the other word for counselor, the one spelt with a C that people get mixed up, which are the people who represent us on the town council. And I think however much we grumble about them, we've actually found them to be pretty good. Whenever Aidan's had problems with his education or his transport, and we had some last summer, I emailed our local councillors, and with 24 hours I'd had responses from each of them. One of them that was in the right position on the cabinet took it forward, and he's got transport till Christmas, and unlike many people, he's got it for the rest of the year. So they did a good job. But we're not thinking of councillor, we're thinking of counsellor, which is quite a different word. If you look up counsellor in the dictionary, it says, this is a person, it's as good as my Christmas jumper, that, isn't it? It's someone trained to give advice on personal and psychological problems. It's someone who's qualified for the job. Now, if you want to get advice, you'd want to go and see someone that's qualified. Now, if you want financial advice, go to someone that knew what they were saying at the bank, or you go to an independent financial advisor, because you want someone that was qualified. You'd want someone you could trust, and you'd want someone that was independent. If you're feeling ill, you don't ask your next door neighbor what to do. You go to the doctor, someone who's had years of training and has the knowledge. And generally, when you go to the doctor, you feel you can trust them. You know, if you don't trust them, you usually go to another surgery. But Jesus, you know, is called Wonderful Counselor. What's wonderful about him and what he can do? Well, first of all, you know, what would you look for in a counselor? You'd want, first of all, to have someone that understands your situation. And we know in God's word that Jesus understands our hearts, our thoughts, and everything about us. He knows us inside out, so he's able to give us advice. If you go to a counselor outside, very often you have to pay them. You know, you have to give them money, or they give you an investment and they get a bit of a cut on it. But with Jesus, it's different. We read in Isaiah 55, verse 1, "Come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, but come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost." There's not a price. The only price we have is that time we give him. He's available. If you want to get advice from someone, you want them to be available. And Jesus said, "I am with you till the end of the world." You want to have someone who gives you the right advice. He will guide you in all truth, we read in John 16, verse 13. You also want someone that actually wants the best for you, someone who cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 7, "Cast your burdens on him, for he cares for you." You know, he's a wonderful counselor because he understands us. We don't have to pay a fortune. He's there, free. He's available. He gives the right advice, and he gives it because he cares for us. But the question is, do we take the advice? You know, there are often government commissions that run for years on end with a learned judge, and they provide advice to the government. But quite often the government doesn't like it, or it's taken so long that it's missed the boat, and they don't follow that advice. Do we follow the advice that we have from God? First of all, though, do we seek his advice? Because I think one of the challenges that we have is that very often we think we know best, we know what we want. But if we spend that time with God to seek his guidance, you know, it's there for us. Is it what we want or what he wants? He's always available as a wonderful counselor for us. Wonderful counselor. Next we find Mighty God. Aidan loves watching films. He's got a huge supply of DVDs, and you know, he picks things off the internet as well. He loves the cartoon type of films, and very often they've got big superheroes, whether it's The Incredibles or Monsters and Aliens. Very often they're animals or they're superhuman creatures that do amazing things. Here we get the words, Mighty God, two words that go together. You know, this king was going to be strong, mighty, and invincible. We associate mighty with war. In the end, you know, there was a war he had to fight. There was a battle he had to fight. That battle, that warrior, that victory was over death, over sin, and over the grave. He was mighty, but there also that second word, he was God. He was Mighty God. One of the choruses or songs we sing quite a bit is Everyone Has Compassion. And, you know, that goes, you know, my Savior, he can move the mountains. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. You know, children, you know, years ago would have sang one of the really popular songs, Gentle Jesus, Meek and Mild. Yes, he was those, but he was also a mighty warrior, conqueror of everything. He is a mighty warrior. He's with us today. But the question for us is, do we seek his help as a mighty warrior that can be with us? Because being a Christian isn't easy today in the world we're in. The world brings us a lot of hostility. You know, we aren't appreciated, and very often we have to fight against many of the powers around. You know, we face opposition today. We often face conflict as Christians in the world. But how are we facing it? Are we facing it alone? Or do we take hold of that mighty warrior who is there to help us? Our problem is very often we think we can do it. I can do it. I'm okay. But are we? Do we rely on that help that's there with us? A few years ago, when we were on holiday, I broke my shoulder. I was very good in that I waited till the last evening to do it. So having had a week away in Devon, to the friend that was with us, I said, I haven't played tennis for over 20 years. Let's have a go. And I was really enjoying not being sort of Roger Federer or Nadal or Andy Murray, just having a nice little go around. And I just fell on my shoulder on the hard court, just going for a backhand, because I just hadn't played for ages. I just thought I'd got a few bruises and everything, but it got worse and worse. We got us home somehow or other. I couldn't drive our car, so we went in this little car with half our luggage and four of us. But when I got to the hospital, I found I'd broken my shoulder. I was all strapped up for what turned out for 6 weeks. And there was so much that I couldn't do, so you know, without Helen, I couldn't have coped, but I had to get her to do things. You know, I couldn't dress myself, so I needed someone to put my socks on. I couldn't have a shower, but I did want to wash down, or I think I would have been quite pongy in church. So it's the only time in my life that she says she'll wash my bum. So she says, well, I get old and beyond. No, that's it. I couldn't cut up my food because the way I was. But I had to say, I need the help. I had to go for it, because I just couldn't do it myself. There was no way. I wonder how helpless we feel before God. Now, we face a lot. Do we go it alone? Or do we realize we've got that mighty warrior who's there, who is ready to help? Mighty God, not just mighty, but God with that incredible power. The third phrase we see here is everlasting Father. Everlasting means he's always there. Now, I lost my father when I was 24 years old, so he'd been ill for a long time, so I spent most of my adult life without my father. But I always try to be there for Aidan, because I think he does need me. He wants me to be there. There are times, and I try to make them as few as possible, where I have to go away somewhere with work, so I'm not or I can't be around. But I'm always there for him. But there will come a time when I'm not there or not around, and you know, it's something that we need to plan for with Aidan, and we have got ideas that we've talked to him about as we go forward. But with God, we don't have to plan for him not being there, because he's everlasting. He's always there. He will always be there. And when we get to heaven, he'll be there with us. But what is it that makes a good father? The everlasting bit is great, but what makes a good father? One of the things a father needs to have is love for their family. And in our Father, we have got someone who loves us to an incredible amount that they're prepared to sacrifice so much. We read in Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ as Lord. Nothing can separate us. We've got that wonderful love, important for a good father. A good father loves. A good father also shows that love by all that he provides for us. When you read in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, all that God provides us, he tells us not to worry about anything. God provides us. We read from Philippians earlier, Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So we look for love. We look for that provision, providing not just what we want, but what we really do need. A good father also provides support. You know, if you've had young children in their early years, as they learn to walk, or as they learn to read, you provide them that support and that encouragement. And we see that support. Just turn to the Psalms. Psalm 18, verse 2. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. A loving father provides for the needs of his children. Love, provision, and support. And it's always there because we've got an everlasting Father. Finally, Prince of Peace. Prince is a person in the royal line. Princes can be good or bad. You look over the years in our British history, some princes have been real models, the sort of people you want. Some we probably wish had never been anywhere near the throne. You get the same in the stories. There's Prince Charming in Cinderella. There's Prince Charming in Shrek, who isn't the sort of prince that you'd want to have around. But the prince that we have is the Prince of Peace. I wonder how you feel as you're coming into this Christmas season. Christmas often isn't a time of peace. It's a time when families get together, and that can mean a bit of strife. The people that you wish weren't there on Christmas Day and Boxing Day because you've had the arguments with them in years before. So Christmas might not be a time of peace. Sometimes it's not a time of peace because it's a time of worry. People have spent too much or think they need to spend more. But at this time, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He can bring peace in many ways. First of all, he brings us peace with God through what he did at Calvary. That was the only way that we could have peace with God, because he took the punishment that we deserved. But then it can also bring us peace with ourself. Because if you're feeling stress, if it's financial stress, if it's stress in relationships, if it's stress on pressure that you're feeling in parts of your life, whether from family or from work, for neighbours, or just stress when you look at the uncertain outlook for the country or the world, he can bring us the peace that we need in that situation. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He gives us peace with God. He reconciles us to God. And when we read through Paul's letters, so many instances of peace, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We read in Philippians, John 14:27, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and be not afraid. Peace he can give us at this time of the year. Just think of these areas. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But we need to take hold of them. There's a story of a lady who had a big box of 50 Christmas cards. And I don't know how you write your Christmas cards, but sometimes you can do them quite quickly. You've got your name, got your address list, or you're putting them into a box somewhere. So you scribble on your cards, write your envelopes, put them in very quickly. And she did that very, very quickly. And she had a couple left, but she'd sent out about 48. And a couple of days later, she looked at her cards and looked in horror at the message on her cards, because she'd sent out her 48 cards to her acquaintances, and the message on the card was, just to say, a lovely gift is on the way to you. But that is true of us in that this Christmas season. That lovely gift is here. It's not on the way to us, it's here at the moment. The wonderful counselor, that advice is there, if only we will take the gift. Mighty God, you know, as we struggle with our faith and share it, as we struggle when people know we're Christians, that protection is there. Everlasting Father, he's there. You know, he's ready to give us such a lot. He's there to support us. That love is there. Are we taking it? Prince of Peace, are we struggling in our lives? Have we got peace with God? Have we got peace with ourselves? He's there to provide it. So that verse was written many, many years before Christ came. But the things it's telling us, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, they're for us to grasp today. They're there, but are we going to take it? Are we going to make the most of it? So Harvey, I think I've made it. I'm finished before these police take me away with my jumper. But let's think about these words going forward. So we've got a hymn to finish, which is Brother, Sister. And we probably need to grab Peter to let him know.